Well, good morning, everyone. I want to especially welcome our live stream audience. Paul Harmon's my name, pastor here at Hope Chapel. And what a wonderful month. It seems like November is always a month filled with appreciation and value, is it not?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it really is. And one of the things that we have been doing, and I want to just encourage you, if you can, prepare yourselves for today's message. As you know, we do not have life groups. Nevertheless, we have life group questions that are listed in your bulletin card. What does that bulletin card look like? Well, here it is. It's just a card, and we hope that you will take some notes. We left you no room for notes, so make sure you write it like you used to in your college days when you'd write on the palm of your hand the answers. Some of you are very good at that. I've seen those palms. Some of it doesn't come off lately. But I want to also just highlight, and very moved, and can we thank Pastor Sean for just leading us in that time of just powerful, effective worship. So long for our live stream audience. Hopefully you were able to just address and express yourself in the setting. The Spirit of God has no limits or boundaries. But I want to highlight something. We have been going through a 21-day gratitude challenge. This is my card. I've been listing a different thing each day. And today, my gratitude is, and I feel moved to, and we're going to see how it is, my gift is the gift of speaking in tongues. I was so moved this morning when I got up at 4 to just thank the Lord how much I love him, how grateful I am for him, that I was overwhelmed like I am now. How do you tell the Lord thank you when you realize you've been given a tremendous lease on life, that you hope that this side of my salvation, I'm doing things wonderfully well for him. I want to please him, but I more than anything else, Lord, I love you. And there are times I cannot express that properly. The Lord knows my heart. I'm in a darkened living room just thanking the Lord and telling him how much I love him. But I found a great key is speaking in tongues. And you know me, I like to find and substantiate my experience or my decisions based on the word of the Lord. So, though this is not my message, this is my interlude and certainly my journey with 21 Days of Challenge. I'm confident you're experiencing the same things because you're stepping out. But I find it's very interesting. And thank you, David. I said, David, could you get me, and can we thank our sound and media team? Just a incredible, incredible gift. I said, could you just throw that verse up found in 1 Corinthians 14:17? And that was my verse. And if you look at that verse, it says, for you will be giving thanks very well. And the Apostle Paul, moved by the Holy Spirit, he's talking about speaking in tongues. You will be giving thanks very well, but it won't strengthen the people who hear you. But he's saying you'll be giving thanks very well. There are times, I don't know about you, I can't thank the Lord enough. There's not enough praise the Lord, hallelujah, Maranathas. So I have to say, Lord, how do I express? You are the unspeakable gift. And I find praying in tongues is invaluable. It is worth noting, and let me just add to that, because it's worth fascinating study as you look at the scriptures, because in 1 Corinthians 14:14, it literally says, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but my understanding is unfruitful. I don't know what I'm saying. Now, that's not up there. But we know what we're doing. If anybody's speaking in a tongue, it's a prayer language. Or if they're singing in a tongue, it's a praise language. But it's always aimed at God. You and I know that. Now, I know most of you. I know most of you. You know me. And you keep coming back to Hope Chapel. Praise the Lord. When you start talking tongues, it's like, whoa, here goes the pastor again. If you're visiting, thank you. I think that's the joy of Hope Chapel or the Four Square Movement. We get to offer something, by and large, traditional movements don't really value. Doesn't mean they don't value Jesus any less. It's just something that I value, the gifts of the Spirit. So I want to just say something, and that is, let's be prepared for the Holy Spirit to baptize you right now. If you have never spoken in tongues, and you find that that's something that you would like to one day, then today's the day. Or if you've never had anybody pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. I love that, don't you? We're going to have a hymn sing today. So thank you for humoring me, but especially you who are at home right now, maybe in a break room, maybe you're just kind of listening in your earpods and you're just, I better be careful what I'm going to say here as I'm stocking the shelf. But I want to take a moment. And maybe you've never heard somebody speak or pray in a spiritual language, but it's very clear. And the Apostle Paul says, I thank God I pray in tongues more than all of you. But he was describing the use of spiritual gifts in the corporate setting, how to work it and balance it. It was never intended to go home. If you never hear gifts of the Spirit in operation in a corporate setting, will you do it at home? No, because we've never seen it, observed it, worked and practiced that. So I need to just see what God will do for you today. We'll see how it goes, because second service, they may not get this little interlude. Aren't you glad you're here today? Praise the Lord. Let's take a moment here. It says, be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Don't be drunk with wine where there's excess, but be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. And alcohol is a counterfeit to the power and the grace and the release and the comfort and the joy the Holy Spirit gives. And if you're missing something, and if you are going on your own strength, today's your day. So I want to encourage you. It's a day of thanksgiving to the Lord. You indeed give thanks well if you pray in the Spirit. So I want to take a moment now. If you feel comfortable, would you stand to your feet? And let's just thank the Lord in English. But let me just pray that you receive the Holy Spirit. So Lord, I'm just following. I'm trusting your lead. So Holy Spirit, we already said, come on my soul. Said, we want more of you. Pour your Spirit out. We sang that. Now we get to operate in that. We sang something. Now we ask, Holy Spirit, baptize everyone that's willing to open their arms up and say, Lord, fill me now. Fill me now. Holy Spirit, fill us now. Right now. Holy Spirit, come. There he is. There he is. There he is right there in your home. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Would you allow me and would you express that in English? And if you can, let's shift to the spiritual language you have right now. Lord, we just want to thank you. Go ahead, shift to your spiritual language. We thank you, O Lord. We thank you, O Lord. Pour your Spirit out. Pour your Spirit out. Mandele roshi andele hute. Mandele behetute. Maharo yapa. Kiveshture betute. Landele hero baroki. Landele ro shura ro kive durabo. Landele ro kia vote boku. Mahandele roko. Minduraka. You who are at home, press into the Lord. Press into the Lord. Let your voice open. How do you get filled with Spirit? Got to speak. You got to speak. Lord, we thank you for that. Oh, we thank you for the gift of speaking in tongues right now today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Can we just thank the Lord? I'm going to believe. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. And if you sense something of the Spirit of God, then let me know. Let me know today. It'd be great. We want to thank our guests who are here, too. That's going to be important, too. We never want to go about just doing something without explanation. It's always important for us. It's a delight, really. But you say, well, I don't think we're supposed to do that without an interpretation. Well, that's to benefit everybody, but we know what we were doing. We may not know what we are saying, but we were addressing God, and we are thanking the Lord. That's what we know we were doing. Praise God. Do I get a witness? Okay. Very good. Well, thank you, everyone. That's what I love about you, and you just keep coming back for more, and I don't know what else I'm going to deal in that direction. Hey, I want to take a moment real quick. Tonight at 1:30, we put together a little miniature hymn sing. So something I want to thank Judy Solberg, who initiated this, but we're going to sing hymns. And thank you, Ainsley. You're going to be leading so much of that. And I'm grateful for that. So if you've never sang some of the old hymns, I requested Battle Hymn of the Republic, and I think it's in there. And so, anyway, I hope you'll get a chance to enjoy it. And if you get a chance, come on back at 1:30, or maybe join us at Seacliff for some on-your-own lunch kind of a thing. Amen? Well, here we go. Let's plunge on into that. You know we are in a series. That series is A Grateful Hotspot in My Heart. This is part 3, A Grateful Hotspot in My Heart. That's the series. So before I tell you today's title of the message, which you probably already see on your notes, heard this cute story about a man who had mental health problems. And he thought that he was dead. And he went about just believing that, and his family, in their frustration about this delusional man of theirs, because dead people don't contribute to the family, that his wife finally made a scheduled appointment to see a psychiatrist. So the psychiatrist, in 45 minutes into the session, getting unsuccessful results, finally came up with an idea. He said, hey, let me ask you something to the delusional man. Do dead people bleed? And the man said, absolutely not. So the psychiatrist took the man's finger, poked it with a needle, a drop of blood came to the top, rolled down his finger. The psychologist said, so what do you think about that? And the delusional man says, wow, I get it. Dead people do bleed. Sometimes today's message, a grateful hotspot during pain. I think all of us feel and experience pain. And it comes in a way, not just in physical pain, it could be in areas of finances or fear, or maybe sickness or loss of a loved one. We face pain in ways where we feel betrayed or abused, feel abandoned. People are in pain in all forms. Sometimes with regards to shame or regret, I could go on down the line. And it's always a privilege for me to pray for the prayer needs that come in from Hope Chapel. And many, I find, who don't attend this church through our website. And the pain that people are in, it can be overwhelming to me. Lord, you have to do something today. And that's the miracle, it seems like, almost every Sunday, that God touches people who are in pain. I thank God for that. And I want to see those areas where people are in pain lift or minimized. But that is a common denominator for every person in life. We will experience pain. And our series is that gratitude, a hotspot in the midst of being in a painful situation. So we're going to tackle this tough one. How do you be thankful when you're in pain? I'm just going to try my very best to present some things to you I have found helpful, but the longing of my heart is that you find in the midst of your pain, Lord, I want to thank you. You can see now how valuable for me to pray in the Spirit is, because sometimes I have no context other than, Lord, it's all about you, because I know I'm experiencing, and I have, some tough times. So as we take a look here, how can we be thankful in the midst of pain? Here we go, a couple of top. Number one, resist comparing your pain to others. Resist comparing your pain to others. Comparing in any form, I find, robs me of joy in any regard. In the early church setting, the Apostle Paul and people just by and large compare themselves with others anyway. It's just our nature. But in the early church, the Apostle Paul found himself being compared with other Christian leaders, and those who were comparing the leaders to Paul were criticizing Paul. Can you imagine that? Incredible guy. So Paul says, hey, if you want to do a comparison, he comes up with this, and it's a lengthy portion of Scripture. It's in 2 Corinthians 11. Check out, he gets a little carried away. He says, let me tell you, who's the better one here? In verse 23, here we go, New Living Translation. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. Five different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I've faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I have faced, it's amazing, I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from the men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, and during many sleepless nights, I have been hungry and thirsty. I have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Now, that's a lengthy passage of Scripture, and you could see just Paul getting a little hot. But he's just answering to his critics. I don't know if anybody says, who do you think you are? But Paul doesn't come in to say, but you know what, that's nothing to me. He does to the church at Philippi. If you look at letter A on your notes, choose to see pain through the infinite value of knowing Jesus. And that's what Paul was all about. If you look here for a moment, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, he says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Wow, what a guy. I can see pain from a bigger perspective, he says. Man, and I've gone through it. Wow. So we take a look at that. He says, I am not going to compare. But he says, I can see things through the lens of eternity. Our pain is temporary, but people get stuck into it. Say, I guess it's not going to get any better than this. But we know that in heaven, there's no more crying nor pain. There's no more. That's pretty awesome. Have the right perspective through the lens of purpose. God uses these things when we're finally coming out of the anguish. We realize, whoa, that was the best situation that's ever happened to me. Look at me today. I've had those. I've been in hairy automobile accidents, and the only next year I was in Bible college. That's how radical God spoke to me while glasses flying and the car's crumbling. Wow. And I look back and say, praise God, on my 21st birthday I was knocked senseless. When we look here through the lens of God's provision, Paul starts to see things. He said, man, everything I went through, it's nothing. I want to know him. Ooh-wee. I like Paul. I have experienced that. Number B, letter B, comparing pain only makes you your pain worse. Now just traffic with me for a little bit. Pain will become worse if you compare to others. We do have an eternal perspective, but if you're only seeing the here and now, and you compare it with others, because you can always find that some people's pain is worse than yours, and your pain is greater than theirs. So if that's where a person would be at, then they only have an earthly one. I only have an earthly comparison. So what happens, I find, and on occasion happens to me, and I find my way out of it quickly, is I become have a victim mentality. A victim mentality, when I become and I turn into a victim, is that all of a sudden I have a victim attitude, and as a victim, I'm no longer grateful, because that's our whole theme this season. I can't be grateful, I'm in pain. Oh, it's painful even to think about that. And a victim mentality becomes hopeless, man, and cynical. Have you ever tried to help a person who's just say, well, nobody understands me? That's hard. It takes the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory to God for the helper. When we take a look here, turns you into a victim mentality, and you can't see events in the light of eternity or purpose or God's provision. You just can't. I don't want to miss him. I know you don't either. I don't want to miss him. So it's going to be important we get a chance. Letter C, comparing pain can minimize it and create denial. Pain is pain, no matter what level we think we could be in. And there's plenty of people who have it worse than me. Have you ever heard that phrase? I have. You know, I'm in pain, but I know there's more people out there who are worse than me. True, but pain is pain. There's a level of pain. And the example would be, let's put you next to a person that has a limb that's just been lost, and you have a cut that needs some serious stitching. Say, well, that person's worse off, but pain is pain. It's both wounds can lead to infection and be fatal. So it's going to be important we take a look at that. To exaggerate it or minimize it would really cause some real issues and some harm. And I find it keeps us basically from trusting Jesus. But I want to talk to Jesus followers here. That's really important. Because pain can become a distraction and at times can become an idol. I'm going to live in pain. Well, that's between you and Jesus, but keep following Jesus. Number two, believe in God's sovereign purposes. Sovereign purposes. Boy, I sure like Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Familiar passage. Says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, most people cut this wonderful promise short. All things work together for good. But there's a premise to that promise. In other words, in order for that promise to come about, the premise has to be met for those who what? Love him. And are called according to his purpose. I want you to know. Your purpose that God has for you, even the pain you go through, God will make sure that purpose comes through. Praise the Lord. Man, his purpose for your life will be met. You can guarantee it. Nothing's going to stop the purpose of God. But one of the premises is that we love God. And what does it mean to love God? Oh, I love God. It's amazing when we consider what it is to love God, because we know it's a big command. Love God with all our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. But what would be a good barometer? And I found one. It's in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Here it is. It says very clearly, loving God means, here it is, see it? Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So if I'm going to line my little heart up with the purpose of God in the midst of a painful situation, I certainly want to show my love for him. How? By following what I know to the best of my ability his directive is for me. Keep that. In order for the premise to fulfill the promise, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So what has the Lord asked you to do lately? And you said, it's not that bad, not that big a deal. But we find ourselves struggling in the midst of anguish and not very happy, very ungrateful. Consider going back to where the last time God spoke to you about something. And it could even be so minuscule, you'd be embarrassed to tell somebody. I had a person that was going through the other church, some real problems. And I said, well, what has the Lord showed you to do? And he said, well, he told me to make my husband dinner every night.
Okay.
That wasn't what I was going to show them in the Bible. I said, so what are you going to do? She said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. He doesn't deserve it. I said, well, then we're done with this session. Let's see how that works for you. Goodbye. So what is it that the Lord has shown you to do? Because I want to be in line for the purpose. All things, and it could even be, as God in his wonderful ways, Hebrews 12:6, you can write that down. God lovingly disciplines those he loves. Glory be to God. So even in the midst of a few woodshed visits, I find has been very, very good for me. But pain cannot rob you of God's plan for your life. I just want you to know that. God has a purpose and a plan for you, and you will arrive there. And it's going to be important. Let's take a look here. You may not understand the painful events, but please simply keep following Jesus. Oh, please. I love the Lord. I know you do too. But follow means obeying. Remember our equation, obedience equals blessing. Obedience brings blessing. Letter A, God has a redemptive narrative with my pain. Narrative means a story. Why is it essential to not lose your confidence? Because you're really going to have quite a story when you get to glory. Jesus says, check the book, the volume of the book. It's about me. I think there's a volume in each of our lives that God's going to reveal in heaven. Say, look at that masterpiece. Now, some people are going to see you in glory and say, man, God lets anybody in here. Look at that guy. That's part of the story. All credit and glory to God. When you take a look here, it's interesting and worth noting. If you take a look, a person who's gone through painful situations, and here's one. You know the story of Joseph, which was one of Jacob's 12 sons. And his 12 brothers get highly jealous of him and kind of rough him up, sell him off into slavery. He finds himself in prison in Egypt. But God does a miracle and elevates him to second in command of Pharaoh. And when he finally meets up with his 10 brothers, what would you do? What would you do? Well, this is what Joseph said in Genesis chapter 5, verse 20. Check it out. He says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. Didn't it sound like Romans 8:28? Intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Wow. Incredible. Notice the gratitude here and the confidence in God's sovereign purposes. He saw it. Not everybody can see it. He saw it. That's why I could say, you know what? Man, you guys were out to doom me, but not God intervened. Number three, resist isolation. Says often, really, when you take a look at that, often when we experience pain, we have a tendency to isolate ourselves. And I know with the holidays, oh, my heart breaks for people who find themselves, I don't feel like a reveler. I don't want a party. I don't want to see anybody. But that can go on for many, many seasons. And isolation, as our note says, letter A, isolation distorts reality. Reality. Some of you, we have a story during the pandemic of how isolation caused some mental anguish. That's why solitary confinement is one of the worst forms of punishment. People get very strange in isolation. So when people are in pain, they really get themselves in trouble. And I want to just highlight 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. If you were 1 Kings chapter 18 and chapter 19, this amazing prophet named Elijah, just brought down by the command that God gave him, fire to consume an offering on the mountain, and a revival breaks out in Israel. Everybody follows God. You would think that that's going to be a great day, but he gets so worn out, he gets highly depressed and runs to isolation. Here's verse 4. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. That sounds like a terrible day. Aren't you glad there are times? Some of us have prayed that. I'd like to retire, matter of fact, permanently. Aren't we glad God didn't answer that? And I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. That's terrible. So you can see here, solitary confinement, that's terrible. People isolate themselves. It distorts the reality. Truth was, he was not the only follower of Jesus. So it even gets a little bit worse, but God rescues him and comes on through because it gives Elijah a new purpose and gives Elijah a wonderful apprentice named Elisha, and things improve from there. But I want to move on to letter B for the sake of time. Isolation hinders God's encouragement through others. We're talking about a grateful hotspot in the midst of pain. And we forget that God wants to use people to encourage us. In God's economy, and it's so many people will hurt us, but then God uses people to heal us. Don't isolate from people. We need each other. The main conduit that God uses to bring healing will be people. Get out from under the table. Come on out. Be with the people of God. We can identify with pain and anguish, and we could also declare God has been faithful to bring us some real victories. So if you have a deep-seated discouragement in your soul, pain of emotion, pain of loss, boy, the Lord's going to bring areas of healing in your life. It's going to be important. I ask God, God, show yourself to me, and he does. And it's often through people. Glory to God. Number 4, choose to lean into Jesus. I'm so glad you're all here today. Glad you're here by online. Thank you. Thank you for choosing to set aside time. Your time with God is so important. That's what it's expressing to everybody in this room. God and me, his time I have with him is so important. And that's why when your family sees you going to church, even online, you're telling them, I want to lean into Jesus. And letter A, pain is the conduit where we experience Jesus being enough. Being enough. Let me just highlight and just share this last verse. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. I find when I go through painful conditions that I understand a little better how God meets my needs, and that I'm able to say, you know what? In touching or with compassion, that same comfort God bestowed upon me comes to somebody else. And that's the way you express to me as well. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Nothing may change in my circumstances, yet I find I change. Oh, that's amazing. What has just changed? Because nothing's changed at home. Nothing's changed over here. I feel like God has changed my life. He's taught me to lean into Jesus for that comfort. Praise God. Well, let me add then and highlight a question that I'm often asked, and this is for your own perusal. You check it out. Letter B, 7 reasons why there is suffering and pain. I wasn't going to add this, but I want you to just take a look at that, because sometimes God gets all the blame. If God is all powerful and he's all consuming, how come I'm going through this? And I think he can take it, don't you? All the insurance forms to say, why did that tree fall on my car? Act of God. Act of God. Anyway. So let's take a look. Letter B, 7 reasons. Let me just highlight it. You can look over the verses. Number 1, stupidity. I just threw that in there. Number 2, truth and righteousness. People will suffer for standing up for what's right. And then among unbelievers. Number 3, sin. Sin will corrupt and destroy your loved ones. Be careful. 4, past sins. What do I mean by that? Well, even though a person's born again today, they still have a lot of indebtedness that's going to follow them into the months ahead. That's an example. Is that a sin to be in debt? I'll leave that to you. But there is things that still follow through. Number 5, purpose of God. Just read the book of Job. Number 6, faith. There's a whole list of heroes and heroines in Hebrews chapter 11. They stood for faith, and it took some time and testing to wait for that promise of God. Some didn't get the promise. Their reward was in heaven, Hebrews 11 says. And then finally, number 7, discipline. Discipline. I thank God for the few occasions that God had to wake me up and kind of smack my little hiney, so big and shiny, to get me back on track. And maybe you're here today because God's been moving you to say, I want you to lean into me. I want you to be with me. I want you to come to me. You've checked out everything and everyone else. Let it now be you and me together. Walk this one out all the way to glory. Hallelujah. Let's close our Bibles up. Shall we do that? Praise God. Praise God. Father, we want to thank you for your goodness. What a great morning already. And Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life, Jesus. So we want to thank you, Lord. And even now, if there are those who are with us and they've never officially presented their life to Jesus, what a great day for that to happen. Lord, out of pain comes birth. Like a mother giving birth to a child, out of pain can come new birth to somebody right now. So if you're needing the Lord, or maybe to give your life afresh to the Lord, would you join me in a prayer of, Lord, I surrender, I accept you. Let's all pray this prayer together, especially you who are at home with me. The prayer goes like this, Dear Jesus. Let's try that again. Dear Jesus, I believe in you, that you are the Savior of the Lord. And I ask you now, Lord, to forgive me of all my sins, to come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I'm going to trust you, Jesus, for eternal life in heaven with you. Now, dear Jesus, help me. Help me be the kind of person you want me to be. Not what I want, but what you want. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I want to thank you. If you did that, would you let me know? I'd love to hear about that. We want to get a fresh connection going on with that. I'm going to invite all of us to stand to our feet. Sean's going to lead us in a song. But if you're here this morning and you prayed that prayer, to recommit your life, or for the first time gave your life to Jesus. You know, you're among a lot of people who have prayed that prayer and gone big for Jesus. But today's a big day for you. You prayed that prayer and you meant it. Would you just raise your hand and say, that was me. I did that. I prayed that. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank the Lord. Glory to God. See that hand? Thank you. Glory to God. Let me just pray for you. May the Lord help you too. Thank God for those eight hands that have gone up. The Lord knows. Father in heaven, we want to thank you. And even before indecision or work of darkness or doubt would come over their heart, what they just prayed, Lord, you expedite their growth and relationship to you. Bless them, Lord. Would you join me, you who are around, just pray a blessing for those hands that have gone up. And you who are at home, Lord, we want them to be a true testimony of the victories in Jesus. Lift them out of despair. As you have us, deliver them out of darkness. As you have us, deliver them from addiction. As you have us, and strengthen them by the power of the Holy Spirit. A new life. A new life. We thank you, Lord, for that. Praise God. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.